Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 665, and it is your review of Poor Things. As always, it is the Nerd Chicken here to host the show along with my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful whatever the day this is.
Yep. This is going up on Monday at 12 p.m. for wonderful people. But if you're on Patreon, you get this episode early because it's recorded early for y'all on patreon.com/the nerdcore. I'm sorry, the nerdcore at the $1 tier. You get this episode for about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like 4 days, pretty much 4 days, like 3 to 4 days for before anybody else gets to watch it. So you guys should go and check that out over at patreon.com/the nerdcore at the $1 tier. But of course, before we get into today's review, Brad, I know I already asked you this because we did something before this, but how are you, Brad?
Doing well, Raul.
Yeah. It's always difficult when we do two in a day for me to ask you that because I already know.
Yeah, it's just like I got to repeat that I watched Shogun, which is great, and I can't reveal anything until Raul watches it because holy shit.
Brad's having a hard time here, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I really want to
talk about Dune. I need you to watch it like you need me to watch Dune, so I get it.
Yeah. But you still haven't gotten to see Dune, so.
Yeah, I watch Poor Things.
Because it's on streaming. At this point, I'm just going to have to reach out to the fucking review crew to see if they can come on to do Dune. Yeah. You have so much money in gift cards, Brad.
I know.
I'm pretty sure those shit.
It's just the travel up there. And it's a very poor time because it's right around Brenda's birthday. So. It's just a very poor time.
Man, bro. Well, nonetheless, Brad, like I told you before, I've been doing this 30 days, 30 different movies, 30 different countries.
He's on day 14.
Day 14. A movie per day, Brad.
He's halfway there.
Some of these days, I've had two movies per day.
He may fall asleep at work. We don't know.
Yeah, I've definitely been. Yeah. It's been fun. Yeah, good movies. Good, great cinema, man.
That's the only good thing about it. If you had just watched like seven in a row that were terrible, it'd be like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck did I choose?
Why did I do this?
Yeah. But I filmed my video.
We've only had 2 months that have gone like that. That's mostly from my poor choices.
Yeah. Did you see that they're bringing back Uncut Gems to theaters though?
For what?
They're doing the A24X IMAX, so they're bringing back Uncut Gems, Ex Machina, and Hereditary in IMAX.
I mean, why would you need Uncut Gems in IMAX?
If you want to feel more anxious, I guess.
Yeah. Hereditary, I can kind of get for a few scenes. Hell, put that shit in 3D.
Yeah,
so that shit is flying at you.
Oh my god, man. But it's pretty cool, man. I think it's pretty cool. I want to go see I've seen Uncut Gems in theaters before, and I've seen it so many times on physical.
You've never seen Adam Sandler 40 feet tall, 20 feet tall. How the fuck tall IMAX is.
You're like, no, sir. Yeah, I just want to see that like blown up right there when he's doing, I'm so sad, I'm so fucked up. When he's getting the fucking, what's it called, the colonoscopy in the first scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, Brad.
You never had Opal?
This History Channel, some Middle Earth shit. Congrats, Larry, you're a Jew again.
You fucked a weekend?
Oh my god, bro. What a movie. I do want to try to go see Ex Machina just for the, what's it called, Oscar Isaac doing the dance. Yeah. Oh my god.
You know, I don't think I've seen Ex Machina yet.
Damn good sci-fi film, Brad. You should watch it. Yeah. I'm waiting for that guy to release 5 movies so I can do a month. Because it's like, he only has Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men, and what's it called? Now Civil War is about to drop, which is his next movie.
Yeah, Civil War.
And we've already reviewed Men, so, you know, yeah. You might just have to start picking them for other stuff. Yeah. I like Ex Machina though. Great movie. And a great dancing from Oscar Isaac. Mm. Today we're going to be discussing our first ever Yorgos Lanthimos film on the channel. This might be the first one that Brad watches, but this is definitely not the first one I've watched from him. Lots of movies I've seen from him. Actually, I watched one of his movies yesterday for because he's from Greece, and I watched one of his Greek films. So, yeah, without further ado, Brad, I think we should get into this because I'm sure that people are going to want to know our thoughts about this movie. I'm predicting that we might not even get a comment on this, but I'm pretty sure somebody's going to comment on this video. Mm. Somebody. Yeah. With that said, Brett, if you have not watched Poor Things, if you care about spoilers, you should probably get out of here. But if you don't care about spoilers or you've already seen the film, go ahead and stay. Either way, how it goes is your one and only spoiler warning. It is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Brad, now let's go ahead and read from Wikipedia here.
Hey, look, that banner. I love that banner.
Yeah. Poor Things is a 2023 film directed by Yorgos Lanthimos and written by Tony McNamara, based on the 1992 novel by Alasdair Gray, a co-production between Ireland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. The film stars Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Christopher Abbott, and Jared Carmichael. It focuses on Bella Baxter, a young woman in Victorian London who is brought back to life via a brain transplant and embarks on an odyssey of self-discovery. Principal photography took place in Hungary from August to December 2021. Poor Things premiered at the 80th Venice Film Festival, Venice International Film Festival, on September 1st, 2023, and won the Golden Lion there. The film was released theatrically in the United States on December 8th, 2023, and in the United Kingdom and Ireland on July 12th, 2024, by Searchlight Pictures. It has grossed over $108 million worldwide on a budget of $35 million. God damn. Poor Things was named one of the top 10 films of 2023 by the National Board of Review and the American Film Institute, and received numerous other accolades, including 4 wins at the 96th Academy Awards, 2 wins at the 81st Golden Globe Awards, and 5 wins at the 77th British Academy Film Awards, with Stone winning Best Actress at each of these ceremonies. Cinematography is done by Robbie Ryan, who I believe has done his other stuff. Yes. Yes, he did. What's it called? The Favorite. Yeah.
Yes.
Edited by, oh my God, Yorgos Mavropraidis. Yep. Which is the editor that works with Yorgos Lanthimos on all his movies. Music is done by Yerskin Fendrix. And it sits at 2 hours and 22 minutes, and on a budget of 35, it made $108.7 million at the box office. As a fucking success. As a success, Brad. All right, man. Let's do this, Brad. What are your initial thoughts?
No. I'm having you start this one.
Let me go back to my review.
Yeah, I'm having you start this one.
Because I think there was a specific way that I explained this movie. Why you gotta have me started, Brad?
Because I started the last one.
Yeah.
I forget if I started the horse one.
You want them to attack me first, Brad.
Well, I want, more than likely, like, so based on our YouTube, most people stop at around the 4-minute mark.
Yeah.
So I'm just making it more.
Yeah.
Bro, we've been doing this too long. You already know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Here, I'll go ahead and just read my Letterboxd review here that I put for it. Poor Things is delightful, absurd mastery at its finest. Emma Stone is electric and transforms from start to finish as Bella Baxter. Yorgos' direction is so fluid, but I felt it could have been edited down. What a funny film, too. I wish more films like this were made. I also described it as a sexual Frankenstein fairy tale. I really like this movie. This is one of my favorite movies of last year. And yeah, just absurd as hell, but fucking great, Brad. Brad, what are your initial thoughts?
I definitely agree with the absurdity. This movie's wild. And, you know, I put this off watching this because there's like 3 or 4 other Frankenstein-ish movies running around that I didn't know. I don't know which is good and which isn't. So I kind of just put this off being like, I don't know which fucking Frankenstein movie this is.
Yeah.
And then it showed up streaming, and I was like, I think Raul said he wanted to review this, so I will go ahead and turn this on. And I did, and there are not a lot of movies written like this. This story is out there. This is almost like a Eraserhead in a way. I'm probably gonna get shit for that, aren't I?
Probably, man.
But like an absurdist, almost just nonsensical version of Frankenstein. And I mean, but you watch this the whole way through, just intrigued with it. Just intrigued with, you know, the very first scene is a woman jumping from a bridge that you believed is to her death. And then to go from that to, you know, this class where they're showing, you know, autopsies and how to, you know, parts of the body, old school.
Yeah.
And then you go into this, I don't know, like Dr. Frankenstein's monster looking, like, but he's the doctor and he's burping up gaseous bubbles because, you know, his dad was a creepy motherfucker who cut him open and did experiments. And then you'd see, you know, Emma Stone's character walk in, and it's just like, okay, Emma Stone is a 40-year-old? 2-year-old? Yeah. Like, what? And it just goes from there, and it stays crazy. And then, like, Mark Ruffalo shows up, like the creepy uncle. yeah, it just snowballs from there. And honestly, I don't really know how to feel about this movie, other than I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
And I think that says a lot about it.
And the story is you know, I mean, the story doesn't shake away from you're watching someone who basically had no choice to making her own choices. That's the story.
Yeah. I think that I love Poor Things, man. So first of all, like, the production design is incredible.
Oh, this movie, like, I'm trying to figure out what this like reminded me of. Like the cityscape when she's on the roof and you just see the city out there. And I feel like there were floating balloons and shit in the background, or like a fireball or something that was going up. But just seeing like old, I guess, London. Was that London?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell.
Victorian London, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just kind of amazed the look of this film, because it reminds me of like old plays. You know, the sets on the play. So you got the foreground and then like a painted background, but the background's moving.
Yeah. And then the costumes, Brad. The costumes are marvelous. I mean, looks beautiful, man.
I mean, Emma Stone must have had like 40 wardrobe changes at least in this movie.
Yeah. And look, man, I know the elephant in the room that everybody's like, oh, there's a lot of sex in it. Like, and she has like the brain of a toddler in there. So it's like, I'm sorry, but I still love the movie. And you know, I do agree with what Yorgos had to say about it.
So here's the thing though, if you stop this movie like at the halfway point, you don't get the full like visual of this thing, of what's actually happening.
Yeah. And it's true, Brad. Like, if you don't make it all the way through, you're not going to see the part where, like, oh, where Bella does care about her agency and she, like, becomes more, like, selective of who she actually sleeps with. And she
gains more knowledge from literature and just from overall just people and experiences that, you know, that changes how she thinks, to the point where her ex-husband shows up and she's like, no, like, you're a bastard, to that point.
Yeah. But And like I said, what's it called? Like I said, man, I think that what Yorkos had to say was the truth. Like he says, like he just feels that that if you walk out of this film and your only takeaway that you care about is the fact that like it's the brain of a child in there, it's like you didn't really understand what this movie's trying to do. And it's so very surface level for you to just be like, oh, the sex. There's a journey that Bella goes through because she has no shame.
That sex is basically used as like a weapon of control in a yeah. way by the men. And then by the end of this, she turns it around and uses it herself to the yeah. point she breaks Duncan Wedderburn's character.
Yeah.
And he's in an insane asylum. So I mean, it kind of goes both ways in a way.
Yeah. I think cinematography is fantastic, Brad. I think that Emma Stone's performance is incredible. I mean, she loses herself. Absolutely fucking loses herself in this role.
Do you think she beats Lily Gladstone, though?
She did beat Lily Gladstone, Brad.
She did. But yeah. Do you think she should have?
No. I think that
I don't either. I don't either. Yeah. I think Lily Gladstone should have won. So
I think that Lily's, what's it called? And then it's not because of what y'all think. It's like, oh, it's really because she's Native American. We're like, no,
because she was had a better performance. Even though this was a great performance.
Yeah, this is a great. But like I said, Brad, this and Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall were the only two people that I was going to accept her losing to. If she was going to lose to anybody, it was going to be either Emma Stone or Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall.
And see, and I think you had told me this before. I didn't understand that because I hadn't seen those movies yet.
Yeah.
And so after watching them, I get it.
Yeah. And you see it, man. Like in here, it's just it's her. To me, this is Emma Stone's best work, man. Like I was not a fan of La La Land. I do not think she should have won for La La Land. But this one, she fucking deserves it, man. Like, this one really was a great film, and she does a great job in it. Mark Ruffalo is...
I'll just go out and say it and be like, Mark Ruffalo was truly the only honest character in this story, like, for the whole damn thing. Yeah. I mean, was he a piece of shit? Yeah. But he was honest about, you know, what he wanted and why he wanted it.
Yeah,
he was a giant asshole, but I mean, because you look at it and all the other characters, they were either lying to, you know, protect her in a way or just to, you know, control her.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like nobody else really kind of had Bella's interest in it. And I think that's why what makes people really uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, that's the people that's being surrounded with, like even Willem Dafoe, like he realizes like, I kind of let her, and you let her do her own thing. Like,
yeah, which I mean that's a big thing is he's trying to control her, trying to keep her boxed in because he doesn't want her to like get hurt or you know, to her to run away or I guess her to realize that maybe he is kind of a monster, and yeah. You know at the end of it, yeah, he makes the decision she's got to go, you know, she's making this decision and I'd rather her make this decision than her to. You know, either do something drastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And and then you have like Rami Youssef, who's like Rami Youssef's character is kind of like, well, I want you to be this way, but only for me. Like,
Rami Youssef's character is basically a coward.
Yeah.
That's kind of it because he doesn't tell, you know, Bella like her story, even though he knows it. And he doesn't stand up to Godwin when he should. And then on top of it, he basically, you know, I mean, he's basically just a coward in this film. Like, he doesn't do anything. He threatens to go after Duncan, and then Bella kind of thwarts that.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, and like, who else? And then the people who come looking for her, of course. I love that she puts the freaking goat brain into the guy.
Oh, what the hell was he? I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
Harry Astley, was that it?
No, it was, what's it called?
Alfie.
Yeah,
Christopher Abbott as Alfie Blessington, who was, I guess, a general or a colonel or
some kind of
war hero who was an absolute just horrible monster.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's great is you start this film off with a woman who believes she has no other way out of her life, how it is. She's trapped in this house where she gets to make no choices and where, you know, maybe she comes to realize she's a horrible person based on just her staff reaction to her. And then her to completely, you know, she gets a second chance in a way to like relearn things in a different way than her previous life. And through that, she sees what a monster her ex-husband is and then does something about it and has the power and the will to do something about it instead of just thinking the only way out of it was to take her own life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I found an interview, man. Because like, they ask him, I think they ask him, dude, about it. But it's hard to find it. I saw it on Twitter and I wish I would have kept the link, but I mean, it's just, I don't know,
you
man.
Know,
I,
you know what this movie kind of gives me? It kind of gives me Adam's Family
vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, Adam's Family
I know vibe. That they took a lot of inspiration from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I mean, just with the like the duck dog and the...
Yeah. Because they ask him, what's it called? They ask him, much of buzz about around Poor Things has been that it's this feminist document. Look at how every man... even those who love Bella is trying to take something from her. How do you see it? And I actually think it's dangerous to go much into those conversations because things start becoming a little too one-dimensional. Like there's only this aspect of this film, and this is what we're thinking this is, and what we're trying to do. I try to make films more open than that. That's what I agree. And I think that's kind of like what you're saying, Brad. Like if you only attach this one thing from the film, you're missing the message that the other half of this film is trying to say.
Yeah.
And yes, it is very graphic and there's a lot going on here.
And it has a lot of, you know, a lot of sexual choices in it for sure.
Yeah. But there's something that's being said with all that. And there's something that is trying to be, what's it called, brought forward. And
well, what's great. I mean, Bella starts out as a very selfish person, which, you know, granted, you know, children are very selfish people. So it's almost kind of a parallel to that. And then through her experience and learning and knowledge, her conversation on the boat with the old lady is great because Bella knows is like she likes sex.
Yeah.
And the old lady's like, you know, I haven't had that in like 20 years, but I'm not mad about it. And Bella's like, huh? And then you get, you know, she goes with Harry Astley because he's like, you know, I'll show you, like, you need to see what pain is, like pain in the world. And he shows her this, and it's to the point Bella can't take it.
Yeah. Which I think that's such a powerful scene, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like the way that she just like breaks down and is like, yeah, like, there's all these things that like you feel like are right for yourself, and like she's like they're just like there's so much ugliness too. And I think that's a really big point in her where she realizes like maybe the people who the people have been taking advantage of me. Like look at how these people are being taken advantage. I feel like I've been taken advantage of too.
Or she, you know, she hasn't been aware of it and now she has become aware of it and just how selfish herself has been just running around the world with, you know, Duncan. Yeah. Also another great scene is when she takes all Duncan's money and gives it to the sailor that says, yeah, I'll give it to the poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, that money never
never made it to the fucking poor, bro. Yeah.
And that's again a man taking advantage of her.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah. So like in like Yorgos says, like I'm not gonna be here to say if this is a feminist film or not, and I'm what's it called, because that's not my decision to make on that. I think it has a very interesting discussions about how women are treated. Does that automatically make it a feminist film? I don't know. I think that is for them to, what's it called, for people to decide. But I think that's such a one part of this movie. And I think that there's other things that this movie offers that what's it called, are much more that you can discuss as well. But I really like this movie, man. I think it's great.
What genre do you consider this? Because it's not really a horror. I mean, and it's almost like Mad Scientist. I just want to freaking call
this
it.
This for the weirdos, bro. This is for the lovers of weirdo cinema, baby.
Some David Lynch shit up in here, some eraser head.
Yeah. For the fans of David Cronenberg, David Lynch. What's it called? This is your wheelhouse.
This is your bread and butter right there.
This is your bread and butter, right? Yeah. This is all for you, man. This is an interesting
concept and movie above all. I mean, even if you don't like this, just the look of it. And just, I don't know, it's just weirdly interesting.
Yeah.
Just, and, you know, these stories don't happen a lot anymore.
And I think, like Brad, what's most interesting, you're saying, like, you don't really know exactly how to feel about this movie, Brad, but you still kept watching. Like,
yeah. You're wanting to know, like, okay, what is happening to this character? What is happening to this Bella Baxter, who's not really Bella Baxter? She has a whole story before, but by the end of this, you're like, oh, I get it. She is Bella Baxter now because that old person is gone. And this new person who has all these new memories and experiences and adventures that develop her, she can't be her old person anymore.
Damn straight. Brad, what's your final verdict?
I'm so just confused by this film sometimes. I'm feeling like a 9 out of 10. I'm feeling like an 8.5 to 9 out of 10, and I don't know which one to go with, so I'll go middle, 8.75.
Okay. I give this a 9 out of 10. It's a great movie, and I also just remembered I need to go pick this up on Blu-ray. It's already out.
It's already out.
It's already out. It's already out on Blu-ray.
Is it on a steel book?
Yeah, the Furious Jumping edition. Yeah, wish they had
steel. Furious Jumping. Although, Mark Ruffalo, and the idea of Mark Ruffalo and Emma Stone just kind of makes me like.
Also, the dancing, Brad, the dance number.
Oh my God, the dance scene.
Beautiful, awesome, better than Barbie, better dance scenes than Barbies.
It was Tarantino-esque.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that somebody's review of this movie is literally Barbie for mentally ill people.
I still haven't watched Barbie.
Yeah, they hate to see a bitch with childlike wonder. Oh my God, but
that's the thing is. You know, it's life is kind of easy when you're very ignorant to the pain and suffering around.
Yeah. And I think that great art is complex. It has multiple conversations happening around it. And I think that great art is supposed to make you have these conversations.
It's supposed to make you feel something, not supposed to be an hour 30 to 2 hours of shut your brain off all the time.
Yeah. So the fact that people have something to say, people are feeling something out of it, whether that is anger, whether that is, what's it called? Other feelings,
dislike,
distaste, like you're feeling something. And I think that has a lot to say about it. And, you know, some people hold their convictions very close to their heart and very, that's you. And I'm sorry, but like, that's not me, but you know, that's just the way that you approach film, and that's the way you approach it. And I think that this movie, it says a lot about this movie that it can elicit so many different reactions to it.
And I think you have to give this movie credit for that and for it to doing something different.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we've watched a lot of movies on the show, and we've watched a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah,
this is up there with weird, but it's also up there with good weird.
Yeah,
It's a well-made weird movie.
Yeah, damn straight. That concludes our review of Poor Things. And as always, we want to thank you all so much for joining us. Check out our website, nerdcore.com, Twitter at the nerdcore _, Instagram at the nerdcore, and Threads at the nerdcore as well. TikTok at the nerdcore. And we have our wonderful Patreon, Discord server, where you can talk to us about all of Yorgos' films, talk about Poor Things. What do you guys think? In the comments, tell me who should have won, Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone? Tell us in the comments. And we would like to hear your thoughts. Also hear your thoughts on this film, because we would like to talk to you guys about it. Be respectful. Be kind. You know, I know that look, guys, I don't want to be called a fucking pedo, okay? I don't want to fucking call a pedo in the comments, guys, just because I like this movie. So y'all just got to be kind, okay? Be nice. We're discussing film. We're discussing a film here, guys. We're not doing anything crazy here. Do that in the comment, guys, in the comments. And of course, would you please subscribe to the channel, click the notification bell, and leave a like on the video. All that helps us out so much. On the audio side of things, I just noticed, Brad, I didn't do this on the last episode. On the audio side of things, make sure you leave a 5-star review and you follow us on your favorite podcast app of choice. It would really help us out a lot. And of course, we would really really appreciate if you guys that's it. Yeah, if you guys just follow us and stuff, man. We really appreciate it. We want to thank our patrons because they make this possible. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/nerdcore and pledge to the $1 tier, where you get this episode early before anybody else gets to watch it or listen to it on Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time. And of course, Brad, we want to talk about our wonderful executive producer, Shane. Where can you find it, Brad?
You can find him, Shane, at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at thrifted.il, or go buy something from the Suppy Guide at prisoncityvintage.com.
Damn straight. Go and check them out, guys. Brad, we gotta talk about Moy Yorgos, man. We gotta talk about Moy Yorgos because he's got some fucking crazy movies, man.
We had a whole month on what the hell his name was. I can't remember the freaking movie, but he was gonna do Dune.
Oh, Jodorowsky?
Jodorowsky. Yeah, Jodorowsky. Yeah, that was a weird month, but that was. Most of it was pretty good weird.
Yeah. But this is like the only one we've talked about from Yorgos, and he's got other movies, man. And like, I mean, Killing of a Sacred Deer with fucking Barry Keoghan, Brad.
Yeah,
like,
that Killing of a Sacred Deer, that's one that I've been wanting to watch. And then yeah. Lobster is another one I've been wanting to watch.
Yeah. Fucking good, man. He's a good-ass director, bro. I can't wait for his next film.
I can't believe Lobster was 2015. I thought that movie was a lot more recent.
Yeah. It's crazy, Brad. Like, time. It's crazy. But with that said, we're getting out of here, Brad. Let's go ahead and send them out.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all those who join us in future chats. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this film, don't try to figure out which thigh is softer. Young Yoda out.